What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're here with Holiday Kirk. How are you, man?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Fantastic, dude. So before we start, I guess I'll give a little intro for you, man. If you like nu metal, there is a good chance you've seen this guy, or at least his accounts all over Instagram, Twitter, anything like that. The CEO of nu metal, from what I understand.
There's a non-zero chance you like it because of me.
Well, I tell you what, man, like the more I've followed your socials and everything and really dove into your stuff, the CEO of nu metal, certainly, you know, I think that stands, at least in the like the current state and the current culture, like on the internet, when it comes to like fandoms and shit. So I guess just to start out, man, if you could kind of explain, we could go back to when did you start this whole thing up? Like when, like the nu metal moment, or when you really wanted to get engaged with the community like that?
So I was raised, it's like the way that I was raised during, like, are you familiar with the website Pitchfork?
I am.
I was raised in like peak Pitchfork, where they were making indie stars every day. So like 2009, 10, 11, 12. And like me and all my friends, we like built our lives around that website. It's a great website. It's my favorite fucking website. Mm-hmm. It's brought so much great music into my life. But then I kind of like, so I was like an indie kid for a really long time. And then the writer, and then like I fell out with indie. Because I moved to Los Angeles. I think more than anything, it's because I moved to Los Angeles and I started working in like a cool office. And the cool office would play like the songs I loved in high school on the office stereo. It'd be like The National and Arcade Fire and Grizzly Bear. And I just would hear it at work and be like, no, like, no, 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 no. Like, I hated hearing those songs at work. That's not where you're supposed to hear those. Songs would come on there that I loved so much. Like Let Down by Radiohead, which is my favorite song of all time. But I would actually walk into another section of the office with no speakers and wait for it to be finished because I couldn't bear to like hear it playing in the background. Like all these people are working and they're ignoring the song and it's playing and nobody cares. Just like go in the other room and wait. But so I was, and I also had some friends that were into like the emo thing, the emo night thing. And that had become so like millennial and so nostalgic that I grew out of that too. And I was just adrift for a little while. And then Mr. Ian Cohen wrote a review of White Pony by Deftones for Pitchfork. And it's so lame. Like, I hate having to like reference that website all the time. But I remember reading that review and being like, oh my God, I'm allowed to like this now. I know. It's so whack. But it really kicked down the door for the idea that nu metal in general could be good. And it took me a few years to actually get there. I like tried to get into Korn at the time, wasn't really clicking. And it's funny, I don't even remember how they came about, but it wasn't until I got into Stain.
Wow.
I know, it doesn't feel right even now to say it, but I like got into the album Break the Cycle by Stain, and I was like, wow, this rocks, I love this. If this shit ass album is this good, what else out there is this good? And I was reflecting on it yesterday. It was like a time in my life, still the job. There was no nu metal agenda yet or anything. But I felt like I was discovering my new favorite album every single day. It would be like I'd find like 40 Below Summer and Nothing Face and American Head Charge and all of these great bands, all these great nu metal bands. And I would discover them so fast. And it would just be like, I've been waiting all my life to hear this. Like, it was so addicting. I could not stop. And then with that, you know, I'm a music journalist at heart, and I love music and music journalism, music criticism. And I just realized, I was like, nobody's talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is talking about this. I couldn't believe it. Like, I went crazy trying to be the guy that made his name by talking about this. Now I am just the guy that talks about this. Like, that's my full-time job. But it was so crazy because I got laid off right when the Twitter account was starting to take off. And I just thought to myself, I'm like, well, fuck that. I'm not getting another job. I'm just doing this now. And I never did. So, but it's just weird. I mean, it's a really weird feeling because it's like owning stock in a company that's near bankruptcy 20 years. And then one day it just goes, it just keeps going up and up and up and up and up and up. Because I remember 2 years ago, people were telling me that the new metal revival thing, man, it's over. You got to pivot. You got to come up with something else to get paid, to get your name out there, because this new metal revival thing, it's going away. And now, like, Drowning Pool are on national television with
Quavo or
Offset.
Yeah, or Offset, I mean, my bad. Yeah,
it's like, what? It's like, what? Like, what? Like, every day this gets crazier and crazier, that it's been back this hard for so long.
Yeah, man. And, like...
Because of me.
Hey, let's not mistake anything.
I mean, like, when you talk about, like, it's like stocks and it went up like that, I mean, it has to be because of, like, the online stuff, the virality kind of stuff. Like, that's just the world we're in, right? So, I mean,
mind you, I was the only person writing out for this genre full time, like, mm-hmm. nothing else. I was doing nothing else. I only cared about this genre. And I'm still not sure how many people out there like that. It's definitely more than there used to be, but this was the only thing I cared about. It's still the only thing I give a fuck about. I don't really care about anything else. I still only care about nu metal.
Yeah. And like what does, so like, unironically, my favorite band is Limp Bizkit. I know that's the most basic nu metal band you could really pick out, but like, yeah. But like, when
a radical thing to say, like, I love Limp Bizkit genuinely.
Yeah. And like, when I remember when I first heard them, because I was born after, like, you know, like, I was born 1998, so I had catch up to do.
Oh,
like,
you're older than me. I mean, you're younger than me. Excuse me. You are
But so like, I, you know, I was playing catch up, so to say, and like, I heard Limp Bizkit for the first time, and I'm like, ain't this the band that people says sucks and you're supposed to not like? Kind of like the whole Nickelback Creed thing. And speaking of them, they are now also, they're going up too. Yeah. And I guess what I'm getting at is, what makes it so it did take that big swing and the kids are starting to like that per se now? And like, what makes it like cool to like it again?
Well, so what makes it cool to like again is that it's just still like really unclaimed territory. There hasn't been this massive critical reappraisal of nu metal the way you might think there would be. Most critical establishments still kind of tiptoe around it with guarded language of like, some of it is kind of good, some of it's kind of good. Speaking of which, the same guy, Ian Cohen, reviewed Slipknot self-titled for Pitchfork, and it got an 8.2, which is way too low, but for them, but for Slipknot to get an 8.2 in Pitchfork, that's like a 10.
Yeah.
And it was just surreal to see, to once again just be like, oh shit, like, the tide is I guess now that I'm thinking about it, like, that probably is going to be a crack in the dam that allows people to be like, well, I always liked Life is Peachy. Is anyone mm-hmm. else like Life is Peachy? Is anyone else like Infest by Papa Roach? I always thought that was a good album. But more than anything, what I think is really attractive about nu metal is that it still sounds very weird mm-hmm. and harsh. It's not like Nirvana or Pearl Jam, or like, especially Nirvana. Like, when Nirvana came out, parents fucking hated Nirvana. They thought Nirvana was godless, antisocial noise. And now Nirvana are just like the most respected rock band of the 90s. They're like, they're classic rock.
Yeah.
They're classic rock. Whereas a band like Korn and a song like Freak on a Leash, that song still sounds weird.
Mm-hmm.
You could play Smells Like Teen Spirit at an office, nobody's really going to blink. If you play Freak on a Leash, people are probably going to be like,
what the hell is that?
Like, what is this? So the music is very off-putting and really aggressive. Lots of what you would call like rock bands now, contemporary rock bands, are very passive. They shrink themselves so that they can adapt to whatever bullshit is going to get the most streams on Spotify. Whereas nu metal bands were just in your face, loud as shit, screaming and crying and just sounding like really cringe. It was all really cringe. And there's such an emotional appeal to that, because sometimes you want to hear like poetry and poetic lyrics, and sometimes you just want someone to be like, give me something to break.
Yeah.
Way more often than not these days, I would rather just have someone scream, give me something to break in my face.
Absolutely.
We live in very obvious times. I don't,
mm-hmm.
I don't really have anything for metaphor and subtlety. And then the last thing that I think would makes nu metal interesting to younger people is that, like, nu metal artists were ballers. Mm-hmm. Like Fred Durst was a bowler. Every yeah. member, I could never not bring this up. Korn were so rich that the bassist was on MTV Cribs twice. Two times. Just Fieldy. The man got two segments on MTV Cribs. Like, that's how loaded these guys were. There is no rock band now that could ever get, for instance, like a $2 million recording budget for one right. of their albums. And Korn did. Like, yeah. that idea where you can be an in-your-face, fuck everything, hard, heavy metal or hard rock, or, well, I mean, new metal is what I mean, but a heavy, in-your-face, way out there, new metal band, and then get rich in the process is just so, so out of here. Even the smaller bands were allowed to quit their jobs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're a really talented musician in a really great band, I've talked to a lot of them. They're not full-time.
Yeah.
If they are full-time, they ain't got no insurance.
Right. Exactly. And it is crazy to think about that. And like you said, which honestly puts it perfectly, because if you think of, I could even say, like, if you think like the emo stuff, right, that came out like after nu metal did, like when I was in school kind of shit, it's like that even sounds, to me at least, that sounds dated, I guess. Like, well, like, I guess what really, I'm getting, you know, yeah, go ahead.
Emo has a lot of classic rock tendencies. It's very, mm-hmm. that it's like the Misfits and the Cure and Elvis Costello in some cases. So it's not that, and it's very traditionally melodic. It has very like traditional and easy to digest harmonies and vocal melodies and whatnot. So it's easier to slot a Fall Out Boy song into a playlist than it might be to sequence some like Cold Chamber.
Yeah.
Into a playlist. And it that was something that else that was very fascinating to me, was that like the nostalgia cycle just jumped over nu metal and went straight to emo.
Mm-hmm. So,
like, emo was the big, you know, millennial nursing home soundtrack, and nu metal was still like, nobody gave a fuck. It was still just like that whole genre, maybe the most popular subgenre of metal ever.
Mm.
Maybe the most popular genre of metal.
Yeah.
Like, you talk about Limp Bizkit and how dismissed and ridiculed they are. They have the fastest selling album in rock history. Chocolate Starfish went platinum in a week. Mm-hmm. And of course, like, Linkin Park, Hybrid Theory is the best selling debut of the 21st century. To just dismiss all of that is like, what a total nightmare. That's how, like, how is that possible? I'm not saying that record sales and charting positions necessarily indicate the quality of music, but to just dismiss the entire genre out of hand is just incredible. It's like, it's not possible. There's no way. All that was useless. All that was meaningless.
Yeah. And look at what it included in the actual songs. You have like the hip hop elements. You have all this really cool new shit that like really wasn't heard back then, you know?
The ultimate thing that nu metal, so there's a difference between nu metal revival and nu metal. Nu metal yeah. revival are bands that are just trying to sound like Limp Bizkit or Linkin Park. I don't like that shit.
Mm.
I get sent that shit all the time and I don't like it at all. Nu metal bands are bands that are trying to take what was and do something creative with it going forward, trying to continue the sound. Because the thing about nu metal is rap and hip hop music during like the early 90s infiltrated like the pop landscape with so much creativity that rock was then shocked into this like defensive posture of like, well, we're not that. Rap is crap, man. Like, we hate rap. We're not rap. Whereas nu metal heard Cypress Hill and heard NWA and heard Dr. Dre and were like, we can do that.
Yep. Mm.
They took it on as a challenge, not a threat. So they started integrating those funk sounds, the rap elements into the music rather than reject it out of hand. So what I look for in nu metal bands today, what can you do that's happening now to continue on the idea? Because nu metal is not something to be revived. We just need to pick up where we left off.
Right. I didn't think of it that way. Like, it would be, hopefully this makes sense. Is it hard to find, and obviously like you said, you probably get sent stuff all the time, just like, hey, check out my new song from like a nu metal band or something. But what is something that you would hear in a song that would like make it stand out as a worthy modern nu metal track.
More than
that
anything,
sense.
More than anything, drums. I need drums. The drums. They need to be live drums. I don't like quantized drums. MIDI drums. Get that shit out of here. Mm-hmm. I want it to sound like there were microphones up against amplifiers, up against hi-hats. I want to hear the room. I want to hear the room. Like most modern metalcore, even good metalcore bands have the same production. All have the exact same production. Mm-hmm. And that production is kind of an outgrowth of metal bands mixing their music for satellite radio, for Octane, you know? Mm. It's like Octane core production. Whereas new metal bands, they were mixing their shit for pop. They were mixing their shit for pop radio. They were mixing it for FM radio, AM radio, the speakers at Home Depot. They were mixing that shit for cassette tapes. They were mixing that shit for CDs. They're mixing that shit for MP3s. They wanted to be big. And you have to, if you want to be a new metal band, you got to dream big.
Yeah.
Because why the fuck? Like, why, if you were in a rock band today, why would you start with the assumption that it's not possible?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you say that, like, well, if we're lucky, we can sell some merch and maybe make a living? No, fuck that. Fuck that. Start your band and be like, we're all going to be millionaires.
Yeah.
We are all going to be millionaires. Because why not? If you're not, if you're not that serious about it, don't bother. Yeah. So what I want to hear in young bands is it's like mixed for radio. Mix your shit for actual radio. Mix your shit like it's a pop song. That's what I like to hear, because I can hear in that a lot of ambition. And that's really not the only thing. There's this album that came out that I just discovered by a band called Burnside, and the production on it is horrible, and it's amazing. It's fucking amazing. It's like all the guitars and the vocals are in the back, and the closest thing to you are the drums. The drums are just loud as shit. They hurt sometimes to listen to it. Amazing. It's like one of my favorite. It's going to be one of my like top five new metal albums of the year. Because when you have bad production, I mean, think of the first Korn album, right? It sounds like shit.
Yeah.
It's like shit. That is what gives it a whole like new personality. Mm-hmm. It's like if I play you a snare from a Korn song, you're going to be able to go, I know what album that's from. That's how you should be mixing your drums. I want to hear your snare and go, I know what album that is. But I want to like back off of the radio thing for a minute, because those songs on that Burnside album aren't anything ready for radio. But the production just really stays with you, because if you produce your music in a way that's unique, you create a hook on everything. It goes across the whole song. Something to draw you back in, something to remember. But on the other hand, there are bands like Bleed and Split Chain that are actually mixing their shit where you would want to hear it on the radio. You'd want to hear it on a Bluetooth speaker. You'd want to hear it in your car. And that is super inspiring to me. Like I'm going to get fucking specific, because I want people to know what I'm talking about. Like, lose a lot of that bass resonance. No chugs. Give me a really clean mid and give me some trebles on the top. But lose that fucking, like, it feels like the dubstep era like never went away for metal bands. It's all like TikTok breakdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Hate it. Grow up. Don't mix your music like that. Mix your music so it sounds good.
Yeah. And for sure. And I think production to like an average casual listener to any kind of music, it's like production is usually like, for a lot of them, the last thing they might think of when they like think of when they hear a song. And like, so it's safe to say then, I guess, like, or if you agree with me, that production in the sense of the music you're talking about, like, that's really what lays your bases, and that's what helps you find your sound initially, kind of. Is that kind of what you're getting
at? Producers used to make money. Ross Robinson, Rick Rubin, Howard Benson, GG Garth, like, these guys were super in demand, and they got paid really well to produce these albums. And I think a lot of bands now just elect to do it themselves because they're like, well, we can. No, fuck that. Go hire a producer.
Mm.
Seriously, hire a producer. You need someone to look at the big picture and be like, here's what we could change.
Yeah, gotcha. And so going on the opposite side of like the what you look for in the new stuff, is there anything that stands out from the, I guess you could call it the traditional new metal stuff, or like this, like the OG shit, that you are glad hasn't carried over? Or like, are you glad that that isn't a common thread in the new stuff, if that makes sense?
So there's this band called Cheem that I've been I've been in love with this band since I discovered them, which was right before I got laid off. It was like right in August, right before when I already knew I'd lost my job. They'd sent me their album called Guilty Pleasure, and for the entirety since then, these guys have just been innovating, and their music, nobody's ever really made music like theirs before. It's new metal, it's vividly new metal, but it's also hyper pop, it's pop punk, it's emo, it's like there's a lot of like Japanese rock influences in there. Nobody's ever done anything like this, and they're probably my favorite band in the world, and I'm always just super excited to hear what they're up to next. And that has never been done before. There are like multiple queer members in the band, like out queer members in the band. And it's just so exciting to, because while I'm on the topic, new metal is so gay. So fucking gay. It's always been so gay. One of our biggest albums ever, Follow the Leader, has a battle rap between Jonathan Davis and Fred Durst, like right in the middle of it, where they end by butt fucking each other. It's like, oh, gay genre. And I love it for that. So when I hear about young musicians now that are LGBTQ, especially like the trans community rallying around new metal, that to me is, it's like, that is what I want. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want from this, because you couldn't do that 30 years ago, but you can do it now. So that's the stuff that I most aggressively like try to support and platform. What I don't is AI. If you do anything AI with your music, I'm throwing it out. Yeah. And that means like tracks are AI, of course, but if your album cover is AI, if your stage visuals are AI, any part of it is AI. I do not trust your instincts as an artist, and that shit's going in the garbage.
Dude, while we're on that topic, I am so, like, I cannot pick out AI from you. Maybe it's just because of my dumb brain, but to me, like, it is hard to pick it out nowadays.
Nope,
it is.
It happened to me. I got sent a song, and I was like, this shit is so good. And no, it ended up being AI. Here's what I did. I wanted to like the song so bad that I asked the guy, I was like, can you send me an acoustic version of the song? And he did. It sounded terrible. I was like, this is not you. In the slightest, this is not you. And I mean, I felt really burned. I felt really like, I really was like, damn, they got me. But yeah, if I find out your song is AI, it just goes away. It just goes away from my brain, because it's like, well, that wasn't really art. So it just kind of disappears. It's like content. It's like something you scroll past. Mm-hmm. For the most part, I would tell people, like, don't really worry about AI, because you know, the people that consume AI music, it's not your audience anyway. They're not going to your show. They're not buying a t-shirt. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
It's not your problem. Let AI music take them away. Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah. And like, kind of going into the new like era with how social media and like TikTok and stuff, which is great for what you're doing for sure. And you use that tool fantastic. But when it comes to virality and songs, and I don't want to go on a tangent too much, but a lot of times an artist will go viral, any genre, like very viral, and sometimes they'll land on a festival stage or something like that, like just kind of thrown to the wolves per se. Is that in your experience a common thing, and also what is your view on on TikTok and the social media's role in the music industry?
You know, it depends on the type of band that you are. I generally tell bands to avoid the social media hustle, because a lot of the content where it's like POV, we just made the song of the summer, or like the ones I hate the most in regard to new metal, the ones that are like POV, you're enjoying Mountain Dew and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and it's 2000 and here's our new song, like that stuff makes me want to throw up. And I generally caution people not to do that, because we've now lived in this era of virality, social media success for so long that record labels are not impressed by it anymore. It's like, yeah, anyone can do that. It's not the same as it was 5, 6, 7 years ago. I have seen it work really well for bands like the band I was just talking about, Cheem. They were doing the social media hustle, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, they don't need to do this. And they post something comparing their music to like System of a Down and the Persona soundtrack, and just went absolutely mega viral. It went huge. So, and I had to fall back. I'd be like, well, I was fucking wrong. Guess I was wrong about that. So, you know, I leave it up to the listener which is like the best approach, but I would say just try to do something interesting with it, because virality, it's not ain't what it used to be.
Yeah, and with the next step, what do you think the next step will be? Like once the virality stuff dies out, I guess, is it like a pendulum kind of thing? Like,
you gotta make good music.
Yeah,
you gotta make good music. It's always been, you know, all of that other shit, it's so obfuscating. Like, you still gotta make great music. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you make bad music that's popular and you have a good year, but don't think about legacy, you know? Think about what your discography is. Do not beg the algorithm for success.
Yep. Right.
Make music that you believe in, especially nu metal, because if you make good nu metal, I will find you. Like, I am the least gatekeepery gatekeeper in gatekeeping history. I live to find new bands and platform them as aggressively as possible. I think there is a huge dearth of that in the social media scene, so I just try to make it as easy to get my attention as possible. I do a Twitch show every Monday where I'll just ask people to submit music, go through it, listen to it, and I've discovered so many amazing bands by doing that. Literally just like, send me your music.
Right on. Yeah, nice, man. I wanted to hit on next, a few things, just what you're up to and what you do in the scene and everything. Well, actually, before that, the Rolling Stone article, that was pretty fucking sweet.
Which one?
You were in more than one?
Yeah, which one? Which
one are you talking about? The one, so we have our own, we have a Butt Rock page and shit like that, too, that was included in the one that just recently came out. And I saw that you were included, I believe, unless I was looking at the wrong one. But
I was included in that. I was really upset that I wasn't included more.
I know. I was wondering the same thing, man. Honestly.
Well, my brand isn't really Butt Rock, but that so that night that my ex had brought her Rolling Stone reporter friend to that. So one nice thing she did for me. Thanks. but I had done two of these Creed nights before, right? Pretty lame. I was DJing, playing Creed and Nickelback and stuff songs. They weren't a bad time. They just weren't. They weren't it. It was too nostalgic. Then the guy Travis, who like created this event. I didn't create the event. He it's his night. For the third one, he decided, he's like, let's have live wrestling. That everything. The thrill of DJing a live wrestling show is out of this world. It's like,
it has to be.
Yeah, because it's like I'm dropping some trust company and this guy just puts someone through a table. It's like the highest, some fucking non-point, just smashing each other together. I'm like, this is the best fucking gig. Like that is what a true butt rock night should be, because like that's just so out of here.
That's fantastic. And I was going to ask about your live events you do too. Is this like a weekly thing, or is it how do you do your live events and stuff?
Oh, you know, it's funny. I did a nu metal night a couple months after I got laid off, and it was the greatest night of my life. And it was really like that was how I realized. I was like, oh, okay, events are what I want to do. So I actually have a company called The Agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And we do live events. And we do live events of all genres. Last Friday, I did a Britpop night right the day before Oasis were to play in LA. And it was amazing.
Hell yeah.
So friggin' awesome. So I just like doing, I mean, my whole life really revolves around just showing people music, like giving people the gift of music. So I think the whole point of me being on this earth, and that goes for any genre, but since nu metal, it's like there's so much music to give. That is where my heart truly is. Although if you are listening to this and want to book me for an event, please book me. I love doing events so much.
Hell yeah. Like, so when you first started getting into it, did you get the hang of it pretty quickly? You seem like an outgoing person just talking to you on here.
DJing and performing? Oh my God. Yeah. Some people are like afraid of speaking in front of people. I took speech in high school because I love public speaking so much. Like, performing for me is like, I think my mom asked me once, she's like, how do you get up in front of people like that and aren't nervous? And I was like, Mom, I'm nervous the rest of my life. When I'm in front of people performing, that's the only time I'm not nervous. Well, so performing is just super easy for me. And I always thought, like, I always wanted to be in a band. I actually put out a new metal album. That's how deep this goes. A few years ago. And I mean, I put it out and would listen to it and think to myself, like, I'm proud of this, but there's no money here. Like, this isn't going to work. I need to, like, build new metal up first so other people can get on that platform. I need to make the scene happen. And I fucking did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did.
I know. That's fucking crazy, man. The lore grows. That's great.
Well, something else we did that I'm extremely proud of, like all-time life highlight. There was this band called Simon Says. Okay. They were on Hollywood Recordings and they put out two albums and then got dropped and vanished, and their music was not on streaming. So we tracked them down and we're like, we want to help you get it back on streaming. And we did. And they got back together and are releasing new music. I got to see them at the Whiskey, their original lineup.
Wow.
All four of them. I couldn't believe it. I was watching them all walk on stage and I was like,
I fucking did this?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. They said that. They'll say that to me. They'll be like, you did it. So yeah. And we did a Christmas covers EP, album last year. It's called A Christmas Fucking Miracle. And it's 15 bands, 15 new metal bands covering classic new metal songs, and then a second disc of originals by those same bands in the same sequencing. And maybe the second greatest thing I've ever done. I don't know. It's been a crazy 3 years. It's been a crazy ass 3 years.
That's dope, man. And also wanted to ask you about, which this I just thought was dope as shit. You guys put out a magazine? Am I correct there?
Oh my god. I have some right here.
Okay.
So this is What's New magazine. A young writer named Dest reached out to me, DM'd me, and was like, would you be interested in doing like a zine? And I was like, hell yes. She comes back to me like a few weeks later and it's done. She just did all of it. She like contacted the bands, put it all together, did every single page on this thing. And I mean, I was completely floored. I couldn't believe it. It was just done. You know, I've worked in Hollywood for a number of years. I did post production for a number of years, and I would work with so many veterans of the scene, people with 20 years experience under their belt, and they would just suck.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't get things done. You have to push and shove and push and shove for them to get things done. So this 19-year-old writer just showed up on my doorstep and was like, there it is. In every issue after this, like I help out, but for the most part, every month, it's like on the first every month, she's just like, boink, there it is. She prints them, she ships them. I mean, it's like the most talented. It's like the most talented person.
She designs like all the pages too and shit.
Everything.
Wow.
And I catch her on Twitter, all the time, being like, I don't know what I'm gonna do with my life, and then I'll DM her and be like, you're gonna be fine.
Yeah.
like I was not doing this shit at 19. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I was doing at 19. This is crazy. Like you are the talent that she has now. Like you're gonna be fine. I've mm-hmm. never worried less about a young person's future. You're good. Because if you could do this now, what the fuck are you gonna be up to in 10 years? Like you're good. You're 19. Right. You're 19, you magazine. And like she just gets it done, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like I have to call her and be like, "Where's the magazine? Where's the pages? Where are the photographs?" She just gets that shit done.
Yeah,
it's not that it's easy. She gets it done.
Yeah, it's the hustle. Like, I mean, you got the hustle clearly with all that you've accomplished so far, man. It's really cool. And thanks a lot for hopping on, dude. Before we go though, where do you see? And you've basically been hitting on bits and pieces of it throughout the whole talk here, but what do you see with the state of nu metal if you had to make just a blanket statement about
it? It's the strongest year for nu metal since 2001.
Okay.
And if you're listening, you probably don't know because you probably are not digging in the dirt to find the new metal. But once you do, like, it's the same feeling I got when I first discovered the genre, where it's like I'm addicted to just finding new metal bands, because people are just so, it's just so hot right now. Like, these last 3 years, it's like, this is better than 99, 2000, 2001. Like, I'm way more excited now. I listen to as much new music as I do old music. It's unbelievable. And, you know, I'm reaching out into your audience right now. Either start a band and go rip off, like, Nothing Face and Chimera and bands like that. Dude, stop ripping off Slipknot. Mm-hmm. Stop ripping off Korn. Go another level down. Go two levels down. Rip off Seven Dust, man. Like, go rip off those bands. Because if you do it and you do it well, it'll sound like you came up with something, like a brand new idea all on your own.
Yeah.
Because no one did that. There weren't like Chevelle ripoffs in the stream. Like, go fucking steal their ideas.
Yeah. Stop.
Just do it. And but if you're not a musician, if you have no musical interests at all, just get active. Go find some new metal bands you love. Tell them you love them. Stream their music all the time. Go buy some t-shirts, buy a hat, buy some stickers. Like, because it's up to us to do it. It's up to us to do this. The label industry is not coming. It's not coming to save us. It feels like every band, every artist I know that's in new metal is like, all they do is take meetings with labels. Just take meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing ever gets done. Nobody ever gets paid. And if they do get paid, it's like, here's 10 grand.
Yeah.
Bands are getting signed for $200,000 up front. Like, bands were getting greeted at the airport by limos before their first album was out. Word to Soil, who's bassist Tim King I talked to once. Like, it used to be insane.
Yeah.
The thing is like, that made new metal so popular, so creative, because these people just got to flat out go up to their workplace and be like, fuck this, I'm out. Almost every talented new metal band I know of, every member has a job. Do you have any idea what would happen if all these bands could quit their jobs, go full-time on music? Rock would be back. That's it, flat out. Rock would have another foothold in the mainstream, because all of these bands, their creativity, their potential is being hamstrung by two things. One, they're working jobs. And two, in order to succeed in the algorithm age, they have to be content creators. They have to be content creators before they're even musicians sometimes. They are their own marketing departments. It sucks. It shouldn't be like that. If you're a musician, your job is music. So we just have to, it is on the audience, it's on the listener right now to step up and be the record label. Because that's how I see myself when I'm evaluating new bands, when I'm discovering new bands. I'm not looking for like the next Hybrid Theory. I'm looking for the next Zero EP. I'm not looking for Korn. I'm looking for Niedermeyer's Mind. I'm looking to see, do you have it all together or are you just figuring it out? Because with me, like a song can be 60% of the way there. But if you have enough passion and integrity and excitement, I can fill in that 40% and it goes all the way to 100 for me.
Yeah.
I listen for the potential, not where it is right now, where it could be. And that is what I think you need to go in with that attitude, because these rock bands, they're underdeveloped and it's not their fault. It's not their fault. So listen to new metal music like you're an A&R. Like you're looking for the next big thing and you can hear the potential. Listen for the potential, the promise. Because I'll post new metal songs and people will be like, well, you know, it was better 20 years ago. Fuck 20 years ago. I don't fucking care about 20 years ago. It's what's to say? 20 years ago? That was 20 years ago. Move on.
Mm-hmm.
I know the future is scary, but you don't have a choice.
Yep.
You don't have a choice. We used to be a proper nation, man. Society peaked in 2000, man. Society peaked with Woodstock 99. Fuck off. Get away from me. Stay away from me. I want nothing to do with that, because it's just a dead end. If you're nostalgic about everything, it's like, I missed the year 2000. Great. Now what do we do?
Yeah. Then you're stuck. That's the thing with what's popular with new metal now is like the old stuff. Like we've been talking about this whole time. And for a lot of people, Woodstock 99 is where it ends. They see the TikToks of break stuff and Korn's blind. And
you know, it's interesting. It's like with Woods. I mean, this is kind of, we're kind of going way back in the discussion, but with Woodstock 99, this gets a little forgotten because of what came next. But with Woodstock 99, it was generally assumed that like new metal was done. New metal had peaked. It was over. That felt like the conclusion. You know, it's like it had like a 5-year run, 94 to 99. Not bad. And then Hybrid Theory happened the next year. And the record industry was just like, fuck, I guess new metal's forever. Never mind. I guess new metal is just forever. And that's like when the real signing frenzy happened. And bands like Stereo Mud and the Union Underground and bands like that all got these huge advances and were like, it was like really like go time. And Slipknot, I would say the Slipknot self-titled was another one where the record industry was just put on notice. Like, wow, okay, I guess this genre's forever. And it's amazing to think that we had like this 10-year run, which I would say would start with Korn self-titled and end with Duality by Slipknot. Like, we have this 10-year run where we were just killing the game. And then after that 10 years, it was all a mistake. We should never have done that. What a colossal fuck up. It's so cringe. It's so lame.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, buddy. And this is why I make the difference between nu metal and nu metal revival is because nu metal is supposed to be, it's supposed to be forever. We talk about rap. We talk about hip hop. Rap music is allowed to absorb other genres and stay rap. You know, like it can add anything it wants from any genre. It can add guitars and it's still a rap song. Whereas with rock, you're only allowed to go so far before you become something else.
Yeah.
And now like rock is a mainstream thing. It's nothing. No offense to Billie Eilish, but is that alternative rock? I don't know. Not really.
Yeah.
So rock is just meaningless now. But nu metal would allow you to grab like hyper pop or what else is in now? I guess country. I haven't heard it done yet. But you could you grab country, pull it into nu metal, pull it into the rock and metal world and stay nu metal. That's why I post shit that makes people go like, this isn't nu metal. I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
I love that though. I love that. It's like a web, I guess is the easiest way to describe it. Yeah.
Like, you're right. It wasn't nu metal 25 years ago. It is now.
It is now.
You can't. Yeah. I don't care. Like, I don't care.
That's why they're nu metal moments. That's why they're moments.
Nu metal moments. But generally just like overall, reject nostalgia, cut it out of your heart like it's cancer. Just get rid of it because that goes nowhere. It goes nowhere. It'll ruin you. It'll ruin you. Who wants to be that guy that's like, high school was so great, man?
That's lame.
Fuck off, bro. Fuck off. I'm having more fun now than I ever have in my entire life. And I did it by just not being nostalgic.
Yep.
So
hell yeah.
Just knock it off. Let's go find some new bands. Let's go. Let's get out there.
Yeah. That pumps me up, dude. I think that's
feel
the best.
Me? You feel me?
I'm fucking pumped up.
Say
dude.
New metal.
New metal.
Yeah.
But dude, thanks so much for hopping on. One more thing, because I don't want to miss any of the stuff that you're involved with. If you want to put any plugs out for your socials, your events coming up, floor is yours.
I'm gonna make this real simple.
Okay.
Follow Brand Spanking New Metal Agenda on Instagram. That's the only place we got that. Every time I post something that's a new band, I will do a collaboration post with the Brand Spanking New Metal Agenda.
Okay.
So if you go on that account, you just go down there. It's all new music. Don't, you know, if you like the memes, if you like the throwback stuff, the New Metal Moment account is there. But if you want to get productive, if you want to discover something for like new, go follow Brand Spanking New Metal Agenda.
Hell yeah. You guys make sure to do that for sure. And also follow Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Google us. We'll pop up. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Holiday Kirk, thank you so much, man. I've been looking forward to this. Appreciate it.
Peace, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Yep. Stick around for 1 second when we're done. We'll get you going. So thanks, guys, for listening. We'll see you guys next time. My boots look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight?